you close your eyes. Does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
You're listening to The Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking with Laura Eisenhower, great-granddaughter of President Eisenhower. I have never seen in my lifetime so much happening all at the same time. Even media outlets who normally wouldn't cover stories that they would consider quote-unquote conspiratorial are talking about things that a few years ago we would have said, that's crazy. I can't believe the Wall Street Journal, for instance, posted an op-ed from Henry Kissinger today. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
No.
About the New World Order, about how it's time to do this thing right now.
Right.
And that combined with the presser over in the UK about this threat being imminent, not a possibility. He used the word imminent. The whole thing just left me with this very ominous feeling. And I can only imagine where this is going. I mean, I really have no idea. I mean, do you have any thoughts about what's happening right now?
I've had to remove myself from the news, I have to say. I know it's, I speak about so much, I should be keeping up with things, but it's like, I'm just letting it play out. And if I get immersed in it, my energy sinks. I feel anger, you know, and it's like I've just needed to distance myself because I know that they're pulling all the stops and they're creating these scenarios, you know, to create this goal. And it's almost like I don't even want to see it because I know what it means in the larger picture. And so I get little bits here and there, but I've had to get rid of my ability to look anymore because none of it's real. I mean, it is real because people are getting hurt and there's a lot of suffering. That's what I, you know, am addressing on more of an internal sort of, all right, let's go into the soul aspect of it. Let's go into like, you know, what we need to do to take on a leadership role and to live our path and live our purpose and live our mission so that we're the greater power that can stop these people. But if I get immersed in what they are doing to keep us in fear and to keep us moving in that direction, it's almost like I can't even go there. And so I'm aware of it enough, but I'm working the other way around so that we can lift people up and we can do something to put a stop to it. And that's where my attention has been fully and completely. But I do need to, you know, sort of catch up on everything. I've just needed to take a break because my energetic body's just like, oh my gosh, it's just like one thing after another. And it's just, it never ends.
It's draining. It really is. But in case you're just joining us, we're talking with Laura Eisenhower, great-granddaughter of President Eisenhower. Getting back to the Mars scenario, how many people do you think are already there?
Well, I've heard like millions, and actually millions of people who are on Earth have been there and just don't know it. I mean, I'm talking to people that, oh my gosh, Captain K, everybody's got to Google him. He is a whistle. Well, no, he's under legal authority because he's part of the special section that Ike set up. And he's under legal authority to disclose everything that went on Mars. Mm-hmm. Because it was stated and written into law that if the Constitution was denied 50%, which it has been for a long time, that they would have legal authority to expose and disclose everything. So this is where the disclosure is happening. Captain K is now out there. He's doing interviews. He's sharing everything. I talk to him on a constant basis. He's a good friend of mine. I've met him. And he served on Mars for 17 years and knows all about the technologies. I mean, he's a super soldier, but was a part of a benevolent super soldier program that was a part of the special section, because he's still a part of the special section anyway. And basically, instead of trauma-based mind control to create, you know, a super soldier, like trained assassin and slave, they created a subpersonality to allow him to witness and experience and fight the battles that he did. But part of the programming was for him to wake up and be on a spiritual path and to be able to come to terms with all of this and to, you know, probably have the voice that he does now, which was, you know, also written into law that if things got real bad, he'd be able to. He was guarding the Mars colonies. He was actually a defender of the Mars colonies, but he knew, and the whole special section group knew, that it was not a benevolent agenda. So they were sort of keeping tabs on everything. He's had his limbs blown off and grown back. I mean, all these advanced technologies we see in sci-fi movies. And, you know, I'm like anybody. I'm a skeptic. I keep things at arm's length. I don't believe everything I hear. I know this person. I know him well, and he's looking out for me. I can basically ask him any question under the sun, and he's got higher up people that will answer them if he can't. He's a really good person, and he's gone through tons of therapy and regression and everything to be able to share all this. So I was told that millions of people have been on Mars, perhaps. Actually, it was somebody else who had been on Mars with him who said that. So he didn't directly say it, but I could ask him. But that the colonies, I asked him a lot about how many people are there, who's there. Oh, we aren't allowed to know, but you know, you can pretty much figure, you know, these are colonies. These are like condos they're buying on Mars. These are the elitists. There are lots of famous people. Andrew Bisciago was in a Mars training program with Barack Obama, who went under the name Barry Satoru. So supposedly Barry Satoru, otherwise known as Barack Obama, had been trained to go to Mars. And Andrew Bisciago is an incredible whistleblower, very articulate. He's a lawyer, has, you know, lots of degrees. Really, he's out there sharing all kinds of things. And this was a Mars training program that other people were in that can testify the truth about what he shares. And so, you know, we're talking thousands, we're talking millions.
That's amazing to me. And they're living just a regular, I mean, what do they do for food? What do they do for air? What do they, how do they survive?
Oh, gosh. Well,
is that too technical that to get
no,
into?
No. Well, okay. They were dealing with a lot of indigenous races on Mars. They're pretty high tech there. I mean, he even said, you know, we interviewed him for about 3 hours. We said, well, how are you supposed to stay sane, you know, on the surface of Mars and do all this? And they had like virtual reality things where they could, you know, walk on a beach and do things. So they weren't always experiencing Mars. There was virtual technology, virtual reality technologies, which, of course, are here on Earth. As far as food, I could just imagine that it was pretty easy and pretty advanced because of the level of technologies they have. So I think all that was easy. I think survival was easy. I mean, they said the sky was blue. Andy, who walked on the surface of Mars, said they only needed a respiratory thing for a little bit, and then they were able to breathe fine. So we get a lot of different information from NASA about what Mars looks like and what's happening on Mars. But Mars, I mean, they're either terraforming it or there's some places that actually have real life still. But, you know, Mars, its whole civilization got wiped out a long time ago in connection with another planet that exploded and became a part of our asteroid belt, which is what wipe the life off Mars. And then, of course, there's ruins and there's all sorts of things in our ancient history. But, you know, it's like there's just a lot there.
Do you think that the origin of our species came from there?
There's certain seedings of our human race that certainly originated on Mars. There's been more than one seeding of Adam and Eve, of course, you know, the Garden of Eden stuff. It's like it's not just one story or one biblical story. The Anunnaki, you know, supposedly came from Mars and Maldek. When Maldek exploded, they needed to relocate. And Nibiru is a chunk of Maldek. Is what I've heard and done countless, just so much research connecting dots about that one. So there is, I think, a lot of humans that originate there as far as when they were seeded. But humans in general, as far as the original seedings, you know, that was the original Atlantis and Lemuria that wasn't even in this Earth density. It was in a higher Earth density.
Wow. Well, where can people get more information about you? Because you do a lot of speaking engagements and that sort of thing.
You can find information on my website, CosmicGaiaSophia.com. People can actually contact me. You can find me on Facebook. My name is Laura Magdalene Eisenhower on Facebook. I can help direct you to the people that would help with this sort of information, even though it sounds really freaky and really scary, that the reason we're targeted is because we're very powerful beings and we have incredible potential, and we got to get in touch with it before, you know, we forget or don't even wake up to it.
We're talking with Laura Eisenhower, great-granddaughter of President Eisenhower. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. And I hope that people will contact you for more information, because this is a compelling subject that really needs to be more openly discussed.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate having a voice, and it's really been wonderful to be here.